Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have an important program. The theme of the program is, how can I help? In today's world, we're swamped with a constant tsunami of disturbing images and news of pain, suffering, and conflict through 24/7 access to TV, radio, social media, blogs, texts, and tweets. Many of us tune out in response to feeling overwhelmed and powerless to do anything about the myriad problems we're made aware of. In this program today, Astoria psychotherapist Caitlin Stecker and her longtime colleague and friend Jerry Rousseau from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, will draw from their personal experience and provide information on how we can realistically engage with others in our sphere of influence in life-affirming ways for ourselves and others. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning, Donna.
Thank you for being here.
Good morning,
Jerry in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Good morning, Donna, and good morning to all the listeners.
Yes, I am really looking forward to this conversation today. So needed. Before we begin discussing how can I help, let's learn a little bit about each of you. So Caitlin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, what's most prominent for me right now is that there are some things that I want to do before I leave the planet, and they include being able to create some grief communities. Been working with Frances Weller, who wrote The Wild Edge of Sorrow, and I want to put that into action for people to be able to have community around loss and grief. And then I'm a trainer with the Internal Family Systems model, and I feel incredibly privileged to be able to be supporting therapists becoming able to actually do healing with people that is physical as well as emotional and spiritual. And so those are the two things. And then in between, I try to keep my dear puppy, Sunny, well exercised so that he can be happy and so can I.
Thank you. Lovely. All right. Jerry, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, on a professional level, I've been involved in the field of mental health for 50 years. More importantly, though, on a personal level, I have 74 years of life experience. Many of them involving my dear friend, Caitlin. And I'm a firm believer that the disturbances of life that we all experience are opportunities to engage, learn, and grow.
So well said. I want to remember that. Would you say that one more time? The disturbances in life.
The disturbances in life offer us daily opportunities to learn, grow, and continue to develop our experience as compassionate human beings.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Beautiful.
It is.
Well, Caitlin, how did the theme of this program, How Can I Help, come about? And tell us a bit about that.
Yes.
We play a little radio clip.
Yeah, we're going to have an opportunity to hear a very short clip from an interview that Krista Tippett did with a storyteller and physician Rachel Naomi Raymond, who wrote Kitchen Table Wisdom and created the Cancer Support Program, and is just a wise, wise woman. And it's a beautiful moment when she tells about her grandfather's gift to her of this story of the birthday of the world. And so we want to share that because it actually brings many of the themes and perspectives that we're hoping to expand on in the rest of the time that we have. So Nevada in Astoria is going to play that clip.
You recount this idea of the Kabbalah, which I had known, but I don't know, I think maybe because you're a storyteller, it was very vivid for me that this idea that at the beginning of the creation, the holy was broken up, right?
Oh, the story of the first day of the world.
At the beginning of things. And you know,
the story of the birthday of the world. Yes.
Is that how he told it to you?
Yes, exactly.
And how would he describe it?
Actually, Krista, this was my fourth birthday present, this story. Mm. And if you'd like, I'll tell it to
you. Yes, do.
Yeah. So this is the story of the birthday of the world. In the beginning, there was only the holy darkness, the Ein Sof, the source of life. And then in the course of history, at a moment in time, this world, the world of 1,000,000 things, emerged from the heart of the holy darkness as a great ray of light. And then, perhaps because this is a Jewish story, there was an accident. Okay. And the vessels containing the light of the world, the wholeness of the world, broke. And the wholeness of the world, the light of the world, was scattered into 1,000,000 fragments of light. And they fell into all events and all people, where they remain deeply hidden until this very day. Hmm. Now, according to my grandfather, the whole human race is a response to this accident. We are here because we are born with the capacity to find the hidden light in all events and all people, to lift it up and make it visible once again, and thereby to restore the innate wholeness of the world. This is a very important story for our times, that we heal the world one heart at a time. Hmm. And this task is called Tikkun Olam in Hebrew, restoring
the
world.
Is there a connection between the story of the sparks and Tikkun Olam in Jewish tradition? Are they bound together?
They're exactly the same.
I did not know that those two come together.
It's the restoration of the world.
Right.
And this is, of course, a collective task. Hmm. It involves all people who have ever been born, all people presently alive, all people yet to be born. We are all healers of the world. Hmm. And that story opens a sense of possibility. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference. It's about healing the world that touches you.
Right.
That's around you.
That world
and
to which you have
And that's where our
proximity.
Power is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, many people feel powerless in today's situation.
Right. I mean, when you use a phrase like that, just out of nowhere, heal the world, it mm-hmm. sounds like a dream, right? And a nice, sweet, ideal, completely impossible.
It's a very old story. It comes from the 14th mm-hmm. century. Mm-hmm. And it's a different way of looking at our power. And I suspect it has a key for us in our present situation, a very important key.
Say some more about that. Think that through for me.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk politics here. I'm not a person who is a political person in the usual sense of that word. But I think that we all feel that we're not enough to make a difference. Mm-hmm. That we need to be more somehow, either wealthier or more educated or somehow or other different mm-hmm. than the people we are. And according to this story, we are exactly what's needed. And to just wonder about that a little, what if we were exactly what's needed? Mm. What then? How would I live if I was exactly what's needed to heal the world? Mm. And I think these kinds of questions are very important questions.
And exactly what's needed is precisely the given story of your life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, the story, people will say about a story like the story of Tikkun Olam, the birthday of the world, well, you know, how can I make a difference when I'm so wounded myself? Mm-hmm. How can I make a difference when I feel so not enough, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's our very wounds that enable us to make a difference. We are the right people, just as we are. For example, my own wounds, my own sufferings have enabled me to feel compassion for the sufferings of others. Without my suffering, I wouldn't understand the suffering of others or be able to connect to them. My loneliness enables me to recognize the loneliness in other people, even when it's covered over, to find them where they have become lost in the dark and sit with them and to know that just by sitting with them, eventually they will find what they need in order to move forward.
What an eloquence that Rachel just spoke about. We are everything that we need in order to be compassionate witnesses to others, and especially appreciating our vulnerabilities, bringing us to a point of being able to be sensitive to other people. So let me share an example of how that can be effective in one's daily life. One morning some years back when I was working at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, I came in early. It was about 6 a.m. Building was pretty vacant, and there was a woman, a janitor, who was mopping the floor in the lobby. And I felt called to walk up to her, and I feel moved as I say this. I said, "I want to thank you so much for the work and the service that you provide for all of us who are going to be in this building today." She stopped mopping. She looked at me somewhat stunned, and she said, "I've been working here for almost 20 years, and nobody ever expressed that kind of appreciation to me." Now, when I had that interaction with her, I know she felt affirmed, and I know for myself, I had a good feeling. I benefited from that interaction too.
Yeah.
Small things in our sphere of influence is what I hear you saying.
That's correct. I think it's critical with being inundated, as you mentioned before, Donna, with all this imagery and suffering in the world, I think we need to be able to identify a sphere of influence, which is basically identifying where we can potentially on a daily basis have some positive, compassionate effect on the human condition.
Yeah, and to believe, as she said, that we're enough, that we can be what's needed, to me is such an important aspect. And like you said, Jer, when you gave that to the woman, you know, you also received a gift by believing that you had something of value to offer, and in sharing it became more. And to me, that's the power of this, is that when we give, we actually are making a statement in life about our own value, our own worth, and sharing that with another and feeling it ourselves.
Well said. Here's another situation that came up. When the Russian invasion of Ukraine happened, my wife and I were just disturbed and yet drawn to the imagery of children, families, men and women suffering and in pain in Ukraine. And we were feeling helpless about what could we do to have some kind of impact on that situation. I remembered that at our local bank, there is a woman named Lana from Ukraine. So I said, "Dagmar, how about if I go down and get some flowers and we go and we give them to her and we express our care and concern for her?" Now, my wife, Dagmar, is a retired social worker, and she is an excellent fiber artist. She does freeform knitting of wearable art. And she said, "That's a great idea. And I have a scarf that is in the colors of Ukraine." So I got the flowers, she got the scarf, we went down and we sat down with Lana and we spent about 20 minutes with her, and it was an incredibly emotional experience as we told her that we wanted to do something to show our concern for what's happening in Ukraine. She told us that all of her family is still in Ukraine, they can't get out, they don't want to leave, And we all had tears in our eyes as she said, "This is so meaningful to me that you have reached out to me in this time of crisis for my family and for my people."
Thank you, Jerry. It is. It's about the people we touch on a daily basis, and a beautiful story. And if you have just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, the theme of the program is, how can I help? In today's world, we're swamped, we're discouraged, demoralized, and we have to take care of ourselves, of course, our own mental and physical well-being. And how do we feel that we can also make a difference in our tiny lives, our world, starting one person at a time? So today, my guests are Astoria psychotherapist Caitlin Stecker and her longtime colleague and friend, Jerry Rousseau from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Caitlin, do you want to talk a little bit about how the pandemic affected us too, and how we have kind of shrunk in a way, or as you call it, down-regulated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really helpful for people to recognize that, you know, not only have we, you know, many of us been able to endure and get through the challenges of this last couple of years, but that has had effects on us. And one of them is that, you know, we have, many of us, not everyone, but many of us have been less involved in social interaction, connection with others in body, which is what our brain and body are actually wired to, is that kind of interaction that gives us the experience physiologically of being with another person and being regulated by the people that we are in relationship with. And it's why if you do the blood pressure of people who are living together, it's closer to each other than if they spend time away with other people. And so that reality of being regulated by others has been disturbed by not being able to be, not, I mean, even the sense of people who were used to hugging other people. And, you know, for many, many months and year, a couple of years, we didn't really comfortably hug spontaneously. And so our bodies have downregulated for some of us, where the stimulation of interaction now feels a little bit too much at times. And we have to kind of get used to it again. And to just be aware and sensitive and compassionate with ourselves that it's an adjustment. It's like coming out of a retreat that we've taken for a couple years. It really ends up being impactful to then be in the mainstream of the world. And we're going to feel a little disturbed by that in a way that our system signals us that maybe something's happening that isn't supposed to be happening, and yet it's really healthy.
I think one of the illusions that we fall prey to is the sense of isolation from one another, separate from our human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think the COVID situation over the last 2 years, as you mentioned, Caitlin, really has accentuated that sense of isolation. And I think it's important for us to remember that nothing does exist isolated from anything else. Everything is interconnected. And so sometimes we devalue the kinds of impact we can have on each other by saying, well, it's so small or simple. Well, I want to give the example. If we're all standing around a pond of water and the surface of the pond seems very placid and calm, imagine I have one grain of sand that I toss out into the middle of the pond. Now, to the human eye, we don't see any change in the water. We probably don't even see where that grain of sand has entered the pond. But if we measured the surface tension of the pond, we would see that when that one grain of sand entered the water, it created a rippling effect that went out to all of the corners of the pond. So I really want to encourage people to consider that those basic simple things, those interactions we have with clerks in stores, with the mailman, with our neighbors, they really do have an effect on the entire experience of humanity.
Absolutely. And I would like to hear from you all about what happens when we ourselves feel so overwhelmed and so despairing that it's hard to even make that, you know, give that checkout clerk a smile, you know, or really show up for the other people in a, even in a small way, because we ourselves are kind of shut down.
Yeah, that's why I, in, you know, in my work and in especially the groups that we have here in Astoria, that the idea that if someone takes care of themselves, everyone around them benefits. And that's so different than, unfortunately, many of the cultures of the families that we grew up in. And a lot of families, it was like if one got something, it meant the rest got less. And to think that you actually are adding to the whole by taking care of yourself and giving to others by that act of self-care takes a little bit of a shift for many of us. But it is one of the ways that we can really offer something to others is by really looking at how are we caring for ourselves. And are we offering nurturing to ourselves that feeds us and nourishes us? And it's not easy, depending on what we, you know, how we were raised. You know, many of us have been raised in a culture that values doing rather than being. And so just that idea that just being alive and breathing, and as Rachel said, just sitting with someone can be of such great impact and value, again, takes a little bit of a different perspective. Yeah.
I just want to share too that a number of years back, I was going through a pretty rough patch in my life, and I tended to isolate and pull away. I was still functional in the world, but I wasn't totally involved as I normally would be. Well, my father was diagnosed with cancer during that time, and I was called to move him from his home in northern Wisconsin to Milwaukee. And my attention, along with my wife, to his needs and helping him get through that difficulty provided an incredible benefit to me. I was engaged. I was back in the world. I really felt I was contributing. And so I derived as much, if not more, from that interaction that my father did from my help given to him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good story, because I think people are afraid to extend themselves because they don't know what's going to be asked of them. Mm-hmm. And really what I hear Rachel saying on the Krista Tippett's On Being program and what you all are saying is that all these tiny things in our daily lives really make a difference. Mm-hmm. And they don't require us to extend ourselves to a point where it's very uncomfortable for us.
Mm-hmm. No, in fact, it's kind of like with massage. If the massage therapist is in pain, they're not going to offer healing. But if they can feel the sense of pleasure and nourishing experience when they're giving the massage, then it becomes a healing experience for the person receiving. So if we are able to feel that sense of our own capacity in those moments and in our giving, it feeds us too, as it feeds the other person. Yeah.
And yeah, sorry, Caitlin.
Well, just, I was just saying with the, also, I just want to say just the image for me of that story of the birthday of the world, of just connecting and reconnecting the light and all parts back into wholeness to me. Again, is such a powerful image and metaphor for our world and ourselves and our relationships, that we're meant to be connected. And that includes internally, that we're meant to be connected internally with our own experience and then through our relationship with others. And there's a healing in that. There's a repair to the universe when we make those connections.
I'm a firm believer that the cultivation of relationships is at the heart and soul of human experience. And I also second what Caitlin said, the cultivation of relationship with self and others is at the heart and soul of human experience.
Yes, indeed. It's a relationships are the guts of life, some people would say. And with ourselves, with nature, with animals, with others, other humans on the planet. And we can make a difference. You're showing, you know, how can I help? Well, we can. Just the tiniest little thing every day. So we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah, and I want to just give a shout out, though, to Jerry. As you were speaking earlier, I was thinking about you're speaking of valuing relationship. You have lived in a way that has been so meaningful, inspiring, and life-giving to me for, you know, all these 40 plus years. But I just remembered when you would drive from Milwaukee to Madison, an hour and a half, to have tea with me in the morning. And then drive back to Milwaukee and start your day. And I just will always remember this one time you came and the whole room filled with light. And I remember my little birds were in the light chirping. And I really feel like you have brought light to the world in a way that's really, really important.
Caitlin, you and I have been good stewards for the garden of our relationship over all the years that we have known each other and continuing on throughout the rest of our lives.
Yep, absolutely.
That is a beautiful gift to the world because, again, as you all are connected, because I think, you know, I keep thinking of Milan Kundera's book, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. Mm-hmm. When we're in relationship and we're connected with people, it sometimes is so heavy. It feels like such a responsibility. And then when we're not connected, we are light. It's great. It feels like this great freedom, but it's so light that it's unbearable. Mm-hmm. And I think we're cycling. We cycle between these two things. So again, what I hear you saying is you can make a difference in your sphere of influence with a smile, a kind word. We have 2 minutes left. Thank you, Nevada. Any other last little thing you'd like to say?
Just a second, what you said, Donna, the ability to cultivate relationships happens with 5-second, 10-second encounters we have when the mailman delivers the mail, as well as more involved experiences we have with family and friends.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I'll just say, please don't let a relationship that you've had drift away because there's something happening that seems hard to talk about or deal with, but to value it and to believe that you can work it out, you can reconnect, that you can repair is so, so important. And every time you do it, the next time you'll believe it more and you'll be able to do it more. And you won't lose then the friends over decades of life that I am able to celebrate today in this time.
Thank you both so much. I honor the work that you do and the gift of this program. We all do have that light from the birthday of the world, that light inside us, and we can shine our light throughout our days in just normal, ordinary ways we wouldn't think would make a difference, and they do. Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much, Nevada, for your expertise, for helping us with the clip from Krista Tippett's On Being program with Rachel Naomi Remen, and also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. So this program, Talk of Our Towns, is the first Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. I hope that during that time, you will be able to be that point of light, find that within you. And also, let's take right now a very deep healing breath with gratitude for all the things that are going well in our lives. There are those things happening. And then give yourself a loving or compassionate hug or pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. Everyone is until we know better, and for being here now, where the point of power is in the now moment, the only moment that exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.